Sunshine Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon, and he has a unique perspective on one of our main topics today because of what he used to do when he was a Falcon and National Champion and All-American. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson.
Pass rusher.
I hope it doesn't. That means you're a traitor.
No.
You know, in Game of Thrones, they'd behead you.
No.
Anyways, she's the queen of tofu. The first lady of Atlanta baseball. We drive her crazy every single morning, Miss Allie Mack. And we sprinkle in Dylon whenever we see fit with his no working TV household. With our forces combined, we make up the greatest sports talk radio show in the history of Morning Drive in Atlanta. I mean, that's bold considering, you know, I might have worked on as an intern a show that is in that caveat for the running for the greatest.
A little bit heavy-handed.
Who cares? I'll say whatever I want.
I don't care.
My show. My show.
I don't care.
If you don't give yourself props, who will?
That's right. That's the Steve Shapiro method of life. If you don't build yourself up and hype yourself,
exactly.
No one else will.
Exactly.
You know, my wife was listening to the show yesterday, and she had a question for Dylan. She was like, do you not ever Amazon anything? Like, is Amazon not a thing in your house, dude? Because, like, if we had had a TV break, Amazon would have been at the door 4 hours later. Like, that's just how it rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Simone Amazons everything.
Yeah.
I don't Amazon anything.
Really?
I mean, if I really, really need something, I do. But you guys have to start to understand this.
He has to get Simone's permission.
No. I do what I want, and we've had that discussion on multiple shows already. So I'll leave that alone. I am very much a minimalist.
Minimalist?
Oh. Minimalist, right. I only spend money on myself when I really need to. And the TV thing's kind of obviously a household thing. And we're in the process, you know, we're gonna get one. But you know, if you can get by without it, you know, I'm cool with it.
If only you felt that way about electrical tape used on a car.
I was going to say, I don't think you're a minimalist. I think you're just frugal.
Like, oh, yeah, frugal's a word. Yeah, you're right.
I was going to say, a minimalist, I don't think, would have, like, a Nintendo Switch and, like, the whole, you know, gaming setup and things like that. Like,
yeah, you're right.
You would like to have more stuff if it came cheap.
Do you know what today is, by the way?
Ding.
Speaking of Amazon Prime and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Prime Day!
Yeah, you know
today Prime Day?
Today's Prime Day?
The first of, you know what I did yesterday? I was searching through the early Prime deals, and I haven't pulled the trigger, but you know what I put in my cart?
A new grill?
No.
Something related to iRacing.
Something I have almost as many of, or maybe more of. There was like a 55-inch TV in there.
There you go.
And I put it in my cart. Yeah. I haven't ordered it yet, but because it was like it's almost $200.
Yeah,
off.
Yeah.
Have you ordered TVs off Amazon?
I haven't.
Well, and here's the caveat to that. You can actually order them off Amazon. You can pick them up at Best Buy.
Okay, so you can see it before.
Yes, and then obviously they'll deliver it to you, but if you want it like same day. Mm-hmm. So Allie wasn't around for this, but I ordered 350s, I'm sorry, at the same time because I wanted surround vision on my iRacing rig. And my wife, I told her I was getting a new screen for iRacing.
Yeah.
She just didn't realize that the screen would be three TVs wide.
So three screens that connected.
Yeah. When she walked up on the three empty television boxes that said, you know, TCL 50 inch, she was like, what is this?
The minimal amount I've seen of your setup through the videos you've done for 92.9,
yeah,
I've been like, what in the eye blindness?
Yes.
Because it is overwhelming.
It's intense.
There's
a lot of things going on.
I will say, though, your setup, Mike, that's definitely a streamer's dream right there. That's a streamer's dream right there. You got it going on.
You already know.
Salute.
Hey, man, you got to get on that Prime Day and check those deals out, man.
Nah, that's a fact. I didn't know today was Prime Day. So
yeah, you can literally buy it on Amazon, and you can go to Best Buy like in an hour, and they're like, all right, man, they'll just put it in your car.
We might end up pulling the trigger today.
There you go.
It might be the day.
There you go. From all of us, you are welcome.
Yes.
Because we have
yes.
enlightened this, man.
You are welcome, Dylan. Well, Bo kind of alluded to this. As you open up the show, we are going to talk about superlatives that we're handing out to our Falcons opponents today. We are going to talk about pass rushers. That will be coming up at 6:20, 7:40, Top 5 Tuesday. It should be very interesting.
Oh my God, I cannot wait for this.
Bo is handling this, and I feel like there's going to be a lot of arguing around it. I will not let the cat out of the bag on this, but
I think we should.
I want you to know one thing. Mike Conte got a sneak preview of the list.
Oh, did he?
I sent him the list last night and go, here you go.
Can we not talk about this? Like what the category is?
Have I said it all? What the category is? I'm just talking about the.
No, I know. I want to talk about what the category is.
You want to talk about?
Yeah,
what the category
like I was saying.
Tell me now.
I think we should hype this up. This is going to be epic.
All right. I'm sorry. I apologize. I misunderstood what you're saying. I thought you were like, don't talk about it. I'm like, geez, I'm not. I'm just talking around it. It is the top five, or my top five, MTV reality shows.
Dude,
now here's the deal. I just hammer Michael P. Johnson about subcategories, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're real. They're really real. This one is going to have a lot of people thinking, well, how could you leave this show out and that show out?
Right.
But I don't think some of those shows are reality TV. Example, do you think Pimp My Ride is reality TV? I don't.
I don't even want you to go any further.
I don't.
Yeah, you got to stop there.
But I don't. So therefore, boom. But I made
the
list.
What category does it go in? It's not a game show.
It is more than it is. It is more than it is reality.
More of a game show.
More than a game show because you're chosen, you're selected, and you're giving a prize.
That wouldn't just happen in everyday life.
Yes. Yes. It doesn't follow anyone. It follows a car that someone owns and they just tell a story and then boom, they get their car pimped.
I don't know.
Reality TV is cameras for days upon days. Mm-hmm. I sent this to Mike Conti and said, "Hey, boom." And he goes, "It's interesting. I would have thought you had done something different." And I go, well, I get that, but also this leaves for plenty of discussion because I have a couple of honorable mentions.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's mine because it shows that I enjoyed when I was in it. There are probably shows that people are like have happened recently that they think I should have had on there.
Okay. Gotcha. Mm. Gotcha. It's going to be very heavily debated at 7:40 today. You think you know, but you have no idea.
30 for 30.
I'm excited because I think it's the first time people are really going to want to come at me. And you know me, I don't mind arguing.
So 7:40, set an alarm for that. That is Top 5 Tuesday that Bo will be handling. Tonight, Braves are out in Sacramento to play the Athletics, who have a record of 37-55. Braves are 39-50. So kind of on the same track here, Didier Fuentes is our probable pitcher tonight. If they don't change anything against Jeffrey Springs, it's going to be a late one. 10:05 is when things get underway. And it felt like yesterday, tell me if you guys felt this or not. Yesterday, I heard everyone kind of waving the white flag on this season.
It was the nail in the coffin. Everybody kind of had the nail in the coffin feel.
Yes.
Yeah, they definitely did. And it's one of the frustrating things when you feel like you had an opportunity for the last six games, mm-hmm. and not only did you not take advantage of it, you didn't even come close.
Yeah.
Like you didn't go 3-3. Like you got swept
right
out of the weekend. And so we can talk about, you know, we can get on here and do as we do and preview the Braves and the Athletics. You know, I know that the game will be on MLB Network tonight at 10:00 Eastern time, and we can talk about Sacramento. This is, I think, by record, the second worst team in Major League Baseball,
mm-hmm.
and I think all of us agree that that has no bearing on whether or not the Braves are going to win. You have to score runs
right.
to be able to win baseball games, and the Braves cannot do that right now. And so, yeah, I agree. You scroll in the socials yesterday, listening to everybody here on Sports Radio 99 The Game, it's like, dude, like this ship has sailed.
Yeah.
Like it is a bad thing. And when you look at the fact that in a week you're going to be hosting the All-Star game here in Atlanta, that's a bad feeling.
Well, yeah, but you got three guys in it, two of which you'll see. It's funny listening to other shows. Like, you know, I heard Abe's in for Mike Bell this week, and Abe and Carl were talking about it. And Abe's like, yeah, Brian Snicker's quit. He's on the season. He doesn't care anymore. And Carl's like, that's not anything that's true. I've literally heard people inside the organization tell me how hard he's trying to get a lineup that works, and he's tried everything. And so certain people here might have quit on them, but the team has not quit on themselves. And look, the Oakland A's for a lot of teams in the last few years have been a get-right team. They've also been our minor league farm system. Matt Olson, you know, Sean Murphy, guys like that. But You got a guy with a 4 ERA going against you tonight, so that means he'll probably shut the Braves out.
I was
going
to say the same thing.
And he's not he's a guy that does not throw high heat. He is like, you know, 90 average and 90 and below. His four seam has a rise on it, and it kind of goes towards the left-handed batter's box. So that could get a couple of guys off balance. I don't know. It's hard to say anything. I need to see more from this team, as in they need to do more before I can start saying, yeah, this should be 2 or 3 easy, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not.
I agree.
Also, have you won a game in California, Mike? I think you I don't know if you've won a game in the state of California.
California. Speaking of those All-Stars, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game is coming to Atlanta. And starting this Saturday, we'll have all the festivities covered as we broadcast live from Murph's in the Cobb Galleria Center. That's wall-to-wall All-Star news, previews, and special guests. It's all brought to you by Window Nation. WindowNation.com or call 866-90-NATION. If you're headed to the Fan Village, stop by and see us at Murph's all day, Saturday through Tuesday, July 15th on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I am so excited for that. Well, coming up, who is the best pass rusher the Falcons will face this season? That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. You've got Mike here, Bo, Ally Mac, and Dylan. And we didn't get a chance to ask you, Bo, but The B situation, you got to give us an update on that. I know we're going to talk about the pass rushers in a moment, but I'm curious how that situation's going.
Well, I don't want to be that guy, but the Yellow Jackets, because I think they're worse.
Okay.
But no, they really are Yellow Jackets. It looks like we're at war. They are flying. Their airspace is very secure right now. They are flying.
Satellite imagery shows there some activity.
Well, I did do some intelligence work last night. Me and Carter, my neighbor and MGA partner, were checking out their area from a distance. We did not enter their airspace, so to speak. But we have talked about later in a night, one night this week, maybe after MGA, after we've had a couple of vodkas, making an attack. So we don't want to give away too much because the Yellow Jackets could get wind of it, but we are going to make an attack, and I am still feeling the effects of their attack on me. I itched for like 2 hours last night.
Tough stuff.
So much that I took a Benadryl and just passed out. It was kind of good.
There you go. No Braves game on. You're like, ah.
Yeah. Although then I woke up at 2:30 this morning, wide awake.
Oh, goodness gracious.
There you go.
Itching.
It almost sounds like you're observing from afar, like how the aliens are observing us right now, which is my opinion.
If I believed in the aliens, I would say yes.
So when you are talking Falcons on the radio, you want insiders, you want useful insights. And look, Mike blocked for this team. Bo flies with this team. Their takes come with receipts. So I want to get into the superlative that we are handing out today. We're going to be talking about the best pass rusher first. Let's go over the teams we're going to be facing this season. I think it was the Falcons that posted on Instagram, 9 Sundays, and they use like Michael Penix's jersey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 9 Sundays to go. Yes. So we're going to be facing the Panthers, Saints, Buccaneers, Rams, Seahawks, Bills, Dolphins, Vikings, Cardinals, Colts, Patriots, Commanders, Jets, 49ers, and that's Commanders again. So let's narrow this down to 4, and I think the easiest way to go about this is why don't we just knock off the ones that you two don't see as an issue?
Yeah, when we talk about this, we're almost talking about the Braves scoring runs, because I feel like the minute we were just talking about the A's starters, a 4 ERA, but he'll probably shut them down tonight. So the minute I bring up somebody that's like, nah. You're like, as a former offensive lineman, that's just something you don't do, because you're like, dude, that guy's probably going to eat my lunch. You know what I mean? Like, and they'll go out and sign some kind of all pro. And look, I think it bears mentioning as well, the guys that we are not facing this year. If you looked at like a list of the top 10 pass rushers in the NFL, you're probably missing 9 of them on the schedule. So, you know, the Miles Garretts, the Parsons, the TJ Watts, and guys like that, we're not really that worried about this season. And I think that bears mentioning because you feel really good from that angle in terms of the way the schedule starts to shape up.
It is nice. You don't have a Brian Burns on the schedule. That pass rush that the Giants have built, you don't have to worry about. Those are some good ones. You know, I was looking at it. So There's guys you don't want to face, and then there's DCs you don't want to face.
Mm, good point.
And I know we're probably going to get into DCs later or defensive-minded coaches, but I look at Washington and, like, other than Deron Payne and Javon Kinlaw in the interior, and that's where Eddie Goldman landed as well, but he's a run stuffer, really. But other than that interior with Kinlaw and Payne, there's no one guy off the edge that I fear in Washington. I mean, kind of agree?
Yeah, I think...
I know Kinlaw and Payne are inside, and they're going to get interior sure. push. But the same with the Panthers. Like, other than Derrick Brown on the interior, there's no one on the outside that I overly fear.
Yeah, and they cut Jadeveon Clowney and obviously traded Montez Sweat a while back, and they've gotten rid of – not Montez Sweat, Brian Burns is what I'm
right,
talking about.
Yeah.
That is a team that was once so feared off the edge. Back when I played, you know, I'm coming in here as a rookie, and, you know, we're facing Charles Johnson and Julius Peppers. It's like – that's not good, but I'm with you. It just feels like they're in kind of rebuilding mode. They're trying to surround Bryce Young with all the tools that he's going to need and necessary on offense. They're so focused on that it feels like sometimes the pass rush goes by the wayside. And I am fearful of Derrick Brown. There's no doubt about it. You know, he played, what, half a game last year against the Saints and then tears the ACLs out for the whole season. So I'm with you from that aspect. And I'll flip that over and I'll go to New Orleans. I'm not sure how you felt about the Chase Young extension. What did he get, $54 million over 3 years or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I'm not a huge
I'm not
Chase
either.
Young
like
guy.
He felt like a guy that was going to be on the Jadeveon Clowney trajectory of just being a 1 year kind of hired gun. And then all of a sudden it's a massive extension down in New Orleans. It felt a little bit to me reactionary, the fact that you've seen Trey Hendrickson go up to Cincinnati and is having such a career up in Cincinnati to the point where you're like reacting off that going, dude, we need to sign a passer. This guy's an all-pro and one of the best players in the league, defense player of the year. We don't have anybody like that, and we let him go in free agency. Hey, let's sign an extension to Chase Young, who really, what, hasn't been a pro bowler since his rookie year, which was 2020, I believe?
Yeah.
I'm not that fearful of that, although we all know that the Saints defensive line always gives us trouble.
Well, you got Carl Granderson still yes. there, and Cam Jordan, who has 121.5 sacks in his career, and I think like 25 against the Falcons or 26, something like that.
It is some crazy.
I would say Brian Brise is the guy that I'm more fearful of from the interior. I mean, he had 7.5 sacks last season. And it, you know, it's kind of a breakout for him, so to speak. And in two seasons, he's racked up 12.5. So I'm more fearful of him than I am of Chase Young.
Yeah. Here's the next thing I'm going to ask you too. And we got a few minutes left to do this. Second year players. I had trouble placing like 3 or 4 second year players that I feel like could make huge leaps. But also, like, when you look at rookie pass rushers, the numbers are never that great. Like, they're always – if like, you know, I think Jared Verse was defensive player of the year. He's sitting at, what, 4.5 last year. You know, Latu, Chop Robinson, all those guys are on the schedule. I wasn't sure where to place – and you don't have to tell me if you have one in your top five list right now. But I wasn't sure where to place those guys because the numbers haven't made the leap yet. But when you look at second-year pass rushers – a lot of times they will go from a 4.5 to an 8 suddenly, and then it's like, well, I should have seen that coming.
Kind of like Will McDonald, who we played this year for the Jets, who had 3 sacks in his first year. He had 10.5 last year.
Yeah.
And
what's weird about him is I didn't feel like overall he was as good as he was as a rookie. I thought that he had some missteps in certain places, but you know maybe that team just wasn't as good defensively.
And if you want to talk about Will McDonald, that's where they see James Pierce.
Yes.
You got to remember that was Jeff Ulbrich. He has multiple times talked about that Will McDonald kind of thing. You know, Braden Fisk is another guy that you could put in
great
there.
Great call.
Because yep. Braden Fisk had if you want to look at it on the totality, he had a better year. He had 7.5 sacks. The Rams, after looking at everything, they are by far the most edge as far as pass rushing defenses
yeah.
that we face. I think they might top the list.
Really?
They've got Byron Young, they've got Jared Verse, they've got Braden Fisk, and they got Kobe Turner. And all of those guys, all right, so, and they're all young. So Young and Turner have only played 34 games in their career. They're 15.5 and 17 sacks. And that's just two seasons for both those guys. And then you've got Fisk and Verse, two Florida State teammates coming to L.A., they had, 13 sacks combined last year between the two of them in 17 games. So, I mean, and Verse had a very good postseason.
Yeah, he did. So would you say that as far as the depth goes as pass rushers up front, that you think that just across the board, not one individual, across the board, that they're the best that you'll see on the schedule this year?
San Francisco has, I think they're the best. San Francisco has Bosa, Nick Bosa, and Bryce Huff. And I think both those guys combined can get after it. But, yeah, I would have to say, for me, the Rams have the most feared pass rush as a whole.
It would be hard for me to get into it. I actually have one other team that I know I'm putting ahead of them.
I'd love to hear them.
Well, I'm about to tell you. And that is going to be Buffalo. I think when I look at Buffalo and look at Greg Rousseau, who just signed the 4-year, $80 million extension, had, eight sacks, nine sacks last year. You look at the fact that they brought in Joey Bosa, Ed Oliver still in the middle. Like, they're a terrifying front.
I think Epinesa's there. So.
Yes, Epinesa. Like, they are. To me, they're frightening. And I think that they're hitting a lot of these. Now, Joey Bosa's got to stay healthy. I think that's another conversation, that needs to be had amongst some of these players. Because I also go to another team, and that's the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins have Chop Robinson, I just mentioned, who's a second-year player, could make a leap. But you also have Bradley Chubb is part of that group. Jalen Phillips, who tore his ACL last year, he's a part of that group. But if they all get healthy at the same time,
well,
that's a woo, buddy. That's a group now.
Chubb's the interesting one for me. He didn't play last year.
Yeah.
And you talked about Jalen Phillips. I had Chubb. I looked at Chubb and Phillips, too, and I put them down. I had to put Chubb down just as because I was trying to just go with one guy from each team.
Yeah.
But I got the Rams.
I've got Chubb on my list.
I got.
Yeah. I've got Chubb on my list. I've got him. Yeah. I don't want to talk about him without just telling you because then it sounds like I'm beating around the bush. He's at number 5 on my list.
I don't want you to beat around the bush with your Chubb.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you know what I mean? Yo.
Yeah.
We almost made it through the segment.
Somebody get this guy off the table.
We almost made it through.
He's having a hard time.
So close.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Allie.
That is okay. We can pick up this conversation at 7 a.m. regarding the best pass rusher that the Falcons will face. But speaking of the Falcons, training camp is coming from July 24th through the August 13th. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game brings you exclusive on-site coverage of Falcons training camp with us, the Morning Shift, the Steakhouse, and Andy and Randy all broadcasting live from Flowery Branch. And then when practice wraps up, you can join Dukes and Bell at Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. Coverage is brought to you by your North Georgia Honda dealers and by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party. Live coverage of Falcons training camp starts July 24th on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, thanks to Bo's Benadryl coma and waking up early, he went above and beyond to give us some insight on the quarterback series that dropped at 3 a.m. So we will pick his brain on that in the front page. And we've got my Allie Mac drop. I'm going to give you a really great excuse to get some fast food today. It's for your health. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
It is 6:41 with the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Mike, Bo, Allie Mack, and Dylan. And Paolo Banchero and the Magic agreed to a 5-year rookie max $239 million extension.
Yeah, it's the cornerstone of their franchise. And they're, as it goes into right now, as it looks, heading into next season, they're one of the top 3 to 4 teams in the East. And they're ahead of the Hawks by many people's count. And, they threw in a player option for him. It's just, look, this is kind of like with the essential of going through the motions. They've identified the cornerstone of their franchise, and they have now locked him up. So nothing to see here.
I think that'll be a fun few games next year when you do run into the Magic when the Hawks do that, because obviously we've remade our team as well, and that's a good squad down there that we got dogged on in the playoffs.
Yeah,
to play in.
I still remember when he came out as a rookie, and they're playing in the league they have up in Seattle, like the Uncle Drew League or whatever it's called, and DeJounte Murray tries to punk him, and they've gone different ways since.
Yeah. They sure have.
I just want to say this about the Magic. They are they are opening their window, and they think their time is now. When you talk about the core of Paolo Banchero, Jalen Suggs, Franz Wagner, they got them all locked up for the next 5 years. They got Desmond Bane through the 28-29 season. So they are coming, and the Magic and Hawk battles moving forward are going to be very, very interesting to watch. And those, honestly, those could be some primetime matchups. So I wouldn't be surprised if there are a few Hawk-Magic primetime matchups we get this season. Those are going to be some good battles.
Well, the Clippers, Jazz, and Heat have agreed to a three-team trade that's going to send Norman Powell to Miami, John Collins to Los Angeles, and Kevin Love, Kyle Anderson, and a 2027 Clippers second-round pick to the Jazz.
Yeah, John Collins on the move again. Sorry, John. I hate it for John Collins. I was a big John Collins fan. I hate that he's this kind of bounce on. He did not have a good stay. His second stay in the NBA was not so good.
Nah, and look, he wasn't terrible in Utah, I think, last year. I think he only played in like 40 games, I think it was last year. And he averaged 19 and 8. So he was solid. It's just that he had a hard time staying healthy, I think it was last year. So, look, I think the Clippers is a very interesting place for him because I think he'll be able to do more of what he excels at. Pick and roll, pick and pop. And we have to remember, James Harden is a very, very good passer. We all know him for his step back three and his scoring ability. But when tasked with passing, James Harden can be a very good passer. Remember when he was the point guard, basically the point guard out there in Houston, and he had to kind of switch positions from shooting guard to point guard. He was really good. And so the pick and roll between James Harden and John Collins, I think, could be something to watch for out there in L.A. And John Collins could have maybe a bit of resurgence out there as a, you know, as a lesser option. And so with not a lot of pressure on him out there to do much in L.A. besides pick and roll, pick and pop, I think it could be a good landing spot for him. So we'll see.
And the day we've been waiting for is here. Quarterback Season 2 dropped at 3 a.m. this morning. Kirk Cousins is featured. So it could offer a different point of view on what was going on last season. Bo, you got up early, watched the first episode. Anything stand out to you so far?
Yeah, actually, I thought it was nice hearing Kirk talk about how he felt when he left Minnesota and that he really – that Minnesota made the decision for him. I just thought it was kind of interesting how he talked, how he said it, you know, when they said – he goes, you know, if I could get more than 1 year, I didn't want to be year to year. And so he goes in, and when they came back and we got that offer, when they came back and said that, boom. I thought that was a pretty interesting part. There's another part I want to get to. I want Mike to comment on that part first, but there's another part after the first game that I and before the first game and then after that I thought was extremely interesting.
Yeah, I got through probably the first half of the first episode, and they did cover, you know, the Kirk Cousins kind of looming free agency. And I thought it's interesting to put yourself back in all of our shoes, honestly, but especially his when it comes to the free agency decision, because like you said, he's like, yeah, you made the decision to leave Minnesota. And he's like, no, I wanted to be in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. It just became clear that I would be playing in a year-to-year situation, and I wanted to go somewhere with more long-term security. And then you fast forward to everything that's happened in the years since, and you're like, dude, that did not work out for you. And obviously I come at this from a different angle than most because I've been in these locker rooms and I've seen these guys that are trying to do anything they can to extend their careers and do different things. And you know, there comes a point where it comes to a head with the organization or whatever else it may be. So I'm a little more friendly to Kirk than I think a lot of Falcons fans are, or a lot of guys in the media, because I get it, man. It's a tough situation. You put yourself in that mind frame. It's like, dude, I moved my whole family from Minnesota mm-hmm. down here thinking that I had long-term security, and I didn't. And you guys went behind my back and drafted another quarterback, and it's just very insightful. And like I said, I only got through the first half of the first episode, but yeah, man, it's honestly tough to watch so far.
So what you probably didn't get to, not trying to be a spoiler for people, because I know that you haven't got a chance to see it, but it'll give you a chance to go back and watch it on your own and take out of it what you think, because look, I'm not going to binge watch this. I'm going to watch like one episode. I watched one already. I'll watch one this afternoon and then probably maybe one in the morning when I wake up if I have time. But I go back and look at it, and it's like they ask him, I'm not sure the time frame, if it was during the preseason or right before the first game, but he's at home, he's in his lounge chair, and they're like, he's obviously got some kind of machine hooked up to him, getting some treatment. And they said, hey, how's the offense? Have you learned the offense? Is it any different than what you were in. And he goes, yeah, he goes, it is, but it's not. He said, the thing that's different and it's given me trouble is there's so many motions. And as in sending guys in motion, right? Guys across the formation, receivers, et cetera. He said that he goes, a couple years ago, I started watching other teams like Mike McDaniels in Miami. He's using all these different motions. He's like, we have like 47 different motions at any given time.
It's insane. It's an insane amount of motions.
Right?
Yes.
And then they play the first game. And they go to the play where Ross Dwelly goes in motion, and the snap hits him. And T.J. Watt recovers it. And Kirk, you know, it's funny because most guys, you're beep, beep, beep. And you hear, crap, crap, crap. Mm. And he's not cussing. And I think that was the word he said. Maybe he said shoot or something like that. But, you know, normally you're an F-bomb, right?
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
not
exactly.
Kirk. And he comes over, and he's going through it, and he's very frustrated. And he goes over to Dwell, and he's like, look, I've got to raise my foot, then send you. He goes, and I didn't do that. It's my mistake. I screwed that up. And we talked about that. You know, I think Arch talked about it. I don't know. And I can't remember exactly what was said about it. I'll go back. I think I was like, I'm pretty sure that's what we said. And you see that he totally screwed that up.
Yeah.
That's not about health. That's not about, you know, that was obviously when he was healthy. But he, for some reason, had troubles with getting the motions down. And I'm talking about sending guys in motion and when to do the mechanics of it, right? That's what you hear from that, though.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think one time.
Well,
I'm not going to sit here and blanket
the,
statement
on,
and say
hold
that.
Hold on.
Hey, whoa, let me finish. I'm not going to sit here with a blanket statement and say he messed up one. Then he took the blame for it. He fixed it going forward. I'm not going to say that that's what ruined his season.
No, that's not what I'm saying. But that's not the only time we saw almost disaster or a disaster from emotion. We saw a couple other times where there was almost
a couple
one.
Close calls.
Yeah. But the fact, it's just weird to me, the fact that he had, I know that that's a lot to take in, but it's not like he just got to camp and realized it was a bunch of motions. When he signed the first day of free agency, once he came in and did his press conference, or maybe before, who knows, hell, we got a tampering penalty against us, he clearly got the playbook and knew there was all those motions. I wonder why it was so hard for him to learn.
No, but you're making the assumption that the playbook was finished at that point and that all the motions were already put in. Remember, Zach Robinson's the first-year offensive coordinator. So he's also building his playbook. He's trying to mold the motions to what Dwayne Ledford wants to do in the run game. You don't know. He could have had five motions in at that point. And then you get there and go, oh, you know what? Rewind motion. Let's do one instead of going inside out. Let's go outside in. We'll call it rebock. We'll call it rebar. You know what I mean? Like you're constantly adding things. I would say that probably 10% of those were put in when he signed on the dotted line.
Okay. Well, it's just interesting that that's a thing that really gave him a lot of trouble so far that we've seen about the offense. And if you want more spoilers, I know Abe Gordon is live tweeting it apparently as he watches
good
it.
Good for him.
But that's all I've gotten so far. I mean, I got one episode in. I mean, you know, it dropped at 3 and we start at 6. So, I didn't have a lot of time.
A little bit of a time crunch there. Well, I know I can't wait to go home and watch it today. But it is really interesting to hear your two different perspectives on the Kirk Cousins situation. Hey, I've got further proof that our phones are absolutely listening to us. So yesterday, not a major deal, but I had a little bit of a migraine last night. And Grant, being the good husband he was, asked me if he could get me anything. Took some Excedrin, went to Doom Scroll on my phone. Sure enough.
Doom Scroll.
Sure enough, I went through a few videos on TikTok, and up came a video about the McDonald's migraine hack.
Mm.
Have you guys heard of this before?
No. I'm so interested.
I'm listening, though.
I am so excited about this. Apparently, if you have a migraine, you should go immediately to McDonald's.
Oh, okay.
Order yourself a Coke and fries, and your migraine will go away. I will let Dr. Myro, I believe that's how you say it, I'll let Dr. Myro explain how this works.
There's actually 3 reasons. For one, it's going to give you a dopamine hit that's going to make anyone feel better after anything. 2, a large Coke is going to have 85 milligrams of caffeine. And that is more caffeine than the leading medication for migraines, Excedrin Migraine. And if you didn't know, yes, caffeine can be a relief for a headache, especially a migraine. And 3, those french fries are going to have a ton of salt, which is going to hydrate you just like an electrolyte tablet would. There's actually a fourth reason, and that is in some people, low blood sugar can provoke a migraine. Well, 140 grams of carbs is going to fix that real quick.
I'm having a little bit of issue with this.
Why?
I'm having a little bit of issues with this.
Not after you described it.
I'm so excited.
Okay. I'm excited, too. And it's not, look, I'm not a picture of health, all right? But I have a couple of questions. How can this man in one breath say, you know what, get you a large Coke, that 85 milligrams of caffeine, and then he's like, the fries will hydrate you. Like, no, dude, the Coke is actively dehydrating you. So don't tell me about the Coke helping you out and then the fries because the salt is going to hydrate. Well, like, that Coke is draining you of hydration.
You could go with Diet Coke if you want to.
Yeah.
No, but you didn't listen to him. You clearly didn't listen.
I'm positive that I did.
You're off base here.
Listen to me. First off, I don't know about y'all, but whenever I was sick as a kid, my mom always took me to McDonald's on the way home. Because I got, like, you know, the fries was good if you had a sore throat. Mm-hmm. The salt was good for your throat. But the caffeine in the Coke is hitting you. And caffeine is good for a couple of things. I've also been known, if you have, like, stuffy nose or whatever, caffeine will open it opens you up. It opens your cavities up or whatever. So that's good. It hits you. Boom. And then you get the comfort, not only the comfort of McDonald's fries, which are probably the best, but you get the salt, which does hydrate you. So this salt, caffeine, boom. You shot out of a cannon.
I don't like how all y'all are looking at me right now.
And then, too, Mike, it's not like you just stay on a strict diet of McDonald's, Coke, and fries. Obviously, you can do the other things. Like, you shouldn't just stop drinking water. It's just saying this is what you add in to help remedy a migraine. It's not the necessarily only thing you do. Obviously, you would want to keep drinking water, things like that. But this is just to help.
It's going to be an immediate hack. And it wasn't just a one-off video that I found on TikTok. Neurosurgeons, headache specialists, tons of TikTokers in the medical field were advocating this
TikTok
trick.
TikTok doctors.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a little bit weary.
I'm surprised you're so curmudgeon on this.
Yeah, well, sorry about that.
Cody Franklin, who follows us, I'm pretty sure he's a doctor of some sort, said it's true, it works.
Yes, thank you, Cody.
Pretty sure he's a doctor.
Thank you, Cody. I did find an article.
Oh, man.
I did find an article that also has some healthier options to remedy your migraine. If you want those options, you can find that on the Morning Shift Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. But seriously, I feel a headache coming on. I'm going to have to run to McDonald's.
There you go. Hey, there you go.
Make it two, Utah.
You got a migraine too?
Give me two, Utah.
Give me a French fries and a Powerade.
I don't have a migraine, but can't you just give me something else?
Well, coming up, you got to know your opponent before you face them. So we are breaking down the best pass rusher, the Falcons, will face this year. We'll get into it with the Morning Shift next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.